Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role in the show.
I'm Craig Wallace, and I'm playing Ebenezer Scrooge.
In Ford's Theaters, A Christmas Carol, now through December 27th. Hey, Craig, thanks so much for joining us again.
Good to see you always.
This has become an annual tradition. I'll never forget the first time you came in studio and said, this is the new Scrooge. It had been Ed Giro for so many years. You've pretty much done it. How many years are we in now?
This will be my fifth.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you've totally made the role your own. And basically when people think of the holidays in the nation's capital, they think of you as Scrooge now. So what's it like? I mean, you actually, before we hopped on here, you just mentioned that you love playing roles, you know, more than one time. But what's it been like now, you know, to get to do Scrooge so often and try new things every year?
It's just great. I mean, every year I learn more about the play and I learn more about the character. And that's helpful because I get to deepen him every time we do it. And, you know, we're doing kind of a reimagined version this year. So it's kind of the same and yet it's very different. So that's also been a blessing because we've actually gotten deeper into who Scrooge is and what his journey through time is on that fateful Christmas Eve.
Explain what you mean by the reimagined version this year. And I know and how that sort of ties into, you know, the radio play version that you had to do during COVID. Explain how, you know, how that sort of changed everything last year and how you're sort of carrying some of those elements this year.
Well, obviously, we couldn't do it last year because of the lockdown. And so we did a radio version of the play, which was hugely successful. People really enjoyed it. And we definitely wanted to do it again this year. So we took a look at the radio play and we thought, what if we took the radio play and put that on stage? So our director, Jose Carrasquillo, along with Erica Scott and Craig Hornus, they reimagined the play. So it's scaled down. Unfortunately, we don't have any children. But it's still the essence of the play. And it's really, we really dramatized the radio script. The radio script was just our voices and special effects. And so now this year, we've kind of made that 3D.
Awesome. And speaking of 3D, what sort of stuff do we see? Like, describe, you know, visually, and I know there's always usually some really cool special effects and things that, you know, because let's face it, it's a ghost story at Christmas. What are some of the sensory things we're going to experience in the theater?
Well, I think what you're going to experience is a true ghost story of Christmas. I mean, we have in our original production is very elaborate, and you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, a lot of magic. And all of the magic in this production is in the word. So it's very stark, but the transformation is still miraculous.
Oh, I love that transformation. Well, but before we get too far in, let's speak as if there's someone listening that has never seen it. Hard to believe, but describe that transformation. You know, where is Scrooge at the start versus, you know, and then describe, you know, the past, present, future journey he goes on.
Scrooge is a cold man, an unfeeling man. We learn that he had great love in his life and he lost it. And I think because he's lost love in his life, he doesn't want to feel. That makes him compassionless and sometimes even mean. And he's visited by his old business partner in the form of a ghost, Jacob Marley. And Jacob Marley explains to him that if he doesn't change his life on earth, he is going to have a horrible, horrible afterlife. So Marley arranges to have Scrooge travel through time, past, present, and future. And he does that with three other ghosts. And through that traveling, Scrooge makes some realizations and he is transformed. And this happens Christmas Eve. So Christmas morning is a brand new day for him. He's like a baby and he is transformed and And you know, Scrooge is a very rich man in a place where not a lot of people have money or anything. And part of his transformation is learning what generosity is, learning what compassion is, and he freely gives it on Christmas Day.
Oh yeah, it's, I mean, on the page alone that Dickens really, I mean, that's just one of the great character arcs in history. But performance-wise for you, it must be really fun to, you know, start with the whole curmudgeon, you know, are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? And then slowly within your performance, you know, how do you show him sort of thawing a little bit, you know, getting some fond memories of Fezziwig and the like, and then slowly thawing to the end where it's just this eruption of it's the opposite of how you start the role. It's this, oh my God, it's Christmas morning. I got a second chance. But you know, performance-wise, take me through how you sort of chart it.
Well, it's just really a beautiful journey because as an actor, I start locked and by the end of the play, I'm completely open. So to travel that trajectory is so great. And the way the play is laid out, what Dickens has done, you know, through past, present, and future, Scrooge is, it has to face his life, has to face memories that he's put away, you know, Belle, the love of his life, Fan, his sister who he adored. You know, you know, Fan died, Belle broke up with him, so he's pushed that away, he's pushed that down.
And he
But when
takes it out on
he's when
Fan's
he,
son too, blames him.
but yes, but when he's confronted with those images, you watch, that's where the melting happens.
Yeah.
You see him reconnecting with those images, and that's where the layers start to of the onion start to peel away.
I love it. It is, man, I'm just smiling thinking about it because it really is one of the, it's one of my favorite stories. And every year at Christmas, it's perfect. Well, dish on your co-stars, you know, who do we got as Marley, and then, you know, past, present, future, the whole works.
You know, most of the gang is back with us. Stephen Schmidt is Jacob Marley. Rayan Gonzalez is Christmas present. Justine Icy Morale is Christmas past. And Joe Mallon is the ghost of the future, which is new because usually the ghost of the future is a puppet.
Right, he
But
doesn't have many lines. He's sort of this ominous Grim Reaper figure.
But he's actually in body form, Joe Mallon, who also plays Mr. Marvel, the clock vendor.
Yeah, remind our listeners how that works. That, you know, similar to the farmhands in Wizard of Oz, let's say, you know, the Tin Man and the Scarecrow actually are other people represented back in Kansas. Here, explain how what's cool about and unique about the Ford's production, that all three of the ghosts, past, present, future, have a human equivalent, I guess we'll say.
Yes. On Christmas Eve, Scrooge goes to collect past debts. People owe him money. And he encounters a doll vendor who gives him a doll instead of the money that she owes. A fruit vendor who gives him some cider instead of the money that she owes. And a clock vendor who gives him a clock. Actually, Scrooge takes the clock. And those vendors, doll vendor is Christmas past, fruit vendor is Christmas present, and Mr. Marvel, the clock vendor, is Ghost of the Future.
Right. So those are the people he encountered before he launches into this whole supernatural
Right.
period. Th
Right.
those are the undigested bits of beef that he
Right, exactly. Well done.
chews over. Oh man, if you can't tell, I freaking love this thing. All right. Well, I know you mentioned that there's, you know, this year for, you know, pandemic reasons, that I assume that, you know, there's no kids on stage and stuff like that, like usual. But is there still going to be sort of the holiday singing at the end?
Yes. Not as much singing as we've had in the past, but yes, we will end the show in song.
Awesome. And
Us,
then,
and we encourage the audience to sing with us as well.
That's great. And most importantly, I assume, like every year, one of the big highlights and sort of the reason for the season is, as you usually at the very end, you come on stage, you know, after the curtain and, you know, explain a charitable cause that people can donate for. Are you doing that this year? And what's the charity?
Absolutely. And the charity is Theater Washington's Taking Care Fund. This is an amazing, Theater Washington has done this for years. It used to be called Taking Care of Our Own. And then when the pandemic hit, it just became so important. And what they've done is they provide emergency grants for theater artists in our area. And so far they've given out, I believe, over $700,000 in emergency grants to artists and administrators that live and work in DC, Maryland, and Virginia.
It's a great cause, and that's actually fitting that that's the charity this year, because I know, you know, in past years it's a variety of different charities that do so much great work around town for different folks in need. But you know, in COVID, you, the theater folks, the artistic community, are the folks in need. Some folks in need this year. I mean, it's talk about how the pandemic was just sort of so devastating, and how, you know, this way, this production at Ford's, the annual tradition's back. How happy does it make you to see sort of an industry that we all rely on? I mean, culture is so important, but how exciting is it to see it finally clawing its way back?
Well, I'm elated. I mean, you know, when every theater artist, especially if you were working, remembers March 13th. And March 13th is when pretty much everything in our area is shut down. The before times. And, you know, just the idea of us not being able to perform was devastating. Absolutely devastating. Beyond the fact that we had this horrible pandemic, not only could we not perform, we couldn't even be together. I mean, you and I are on Zoom right now because we're still in it.
Right.
But the fact that we're kind of on another side of it, not the other side, but another side of it, and people are trusting us to come out and see. You know, we've begun, and so far so good. The response has been amazing. And the crowds have been really great. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can continue to bring this message of compassion and charity and hope at a time when we all need it. So we're very happy.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, folks can head over to Fords.org to see all the, you know, the vaccine policy. I believe you have to have a proof of vaccination or a recent COVID test, something like that. Like all the theaters in town banded together. But cool, and everyone's masked. Cool. Well, except for you guys on stage, right? That's the only
except for us on stage. That's right. We're far enough away.
Sure. Oh yeah, you're back in Dickensian times, and you know you're far away. cool, man. Well, it's always a treat chatting with you, Craig, and I'm so happy to see you back out. You know that you're doing it in person again this year as Scrooge. You know, I mean, it was cool doing it on the radio. That's, you know, that's how it began in the beginning. I mean, lots of Americans listened to it on the radio around the fire, but we got to admit, it's really cool to be back in person and bringing some cheer in person to folks. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason. Always great to talk to you, my friend.
All right. Stay well, stay safe, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Seriously.
Be good, man. Happy holidays to you. And, you know, until next time.